just in.
What the time is now?
I'm about to take you on a journey.
I introduce the one, the only.
I got a special treat for you.
Let's go.
Hello and welcome to Faith Center Flashbacks. This is your host, Jason Norfleet. Here we will bring you the preached word from members, guests, and friends of the ministry from years past. Today's message is from Bishop Norfleet, January 30th, 1994. Fight until you win. Let's listen in.
Hallelujah. We bless the Lord for this, the gathering of his people, to get a glimpse of the mind of God and to know and understand the will of God. The dancing, the singing is all wonderful and scriptural, but you can't just live off of dessert. After all has been said and done, you've still got to eat some meat. Amen. And so we thank God for the word today. We're not going to delay. Let's turn swiftly to the book of Timothy. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Just a few verses of scripture there. And then we're going to run over swiftly down the road to the church at Galatia. Chapter 5, verse 1. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And then over into Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. If you have that, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Paul talking to the pastor, Timothy. And he says to Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore," my God, "endure hardness." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "Endure hardness. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Galatians 5 and 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," or the freedom, "wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Once you get a hold of a good thing, you've got to keep that thing in your presence. We talked about the precious thing and about keeping that which is precious, that which God gives you. I don't think the thing that's made free, I don't think anybody wants to go back into bondage or slavery. Is that right? And so we see here that Paul is encouraging Timothy to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ, and to hold on to what the Lord has given him. I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to repeat our subject for today. Tell them, fight until you win. I don't know if they got that. Everybody's going to be preachers this morning. Turn to them and say, fight until you win. Hallelujah. Saints of God, how long are you going to fight? How long are you going to hold on? How long are you going to endure? How long are you going to hang on in there? Until you win. God has called us to be winners. God is not invested in anyone's failure. God wants us to succeed. And so he set up everything. This mechanism that he has put in place, it's for your success. We've got the word. And if you can't read, we've got the Holy Ghost. And if you can read, we still have the Holy Ghost. Amen? Nobody should fail. Nobody should fail. Fight until you win. Says God, we are living in a time that it means war. It's a time to fight. There's a great shaking in the land going on. We're seeing all kinds of things happening. What we're really seeing is scripture being fulfilled. It shouldn't be strange to us. Amen? We're seeing scripture being fulfilled. And so there's a great shaking not only in this land, but in all of the world. And the reason is because the time is short. Jesus is soon to return. But for the saint, it's not a time to buckle under. It's not a time to get weak-kneed and fall under. But it's a time for holding on. It's a time for being encouraged because God already wrote the manuscript and told us what was going to happen. How can you lose when you have the enemy's battle plan? Huh? And so there comes a time that we must fight, that we must stand firm in what the Lord has called us to. Now, the word fight describes a scene of combat or struggle. And I know that everybody here knows about fighting. Amen. In your lifetime, you might have even had a few or one or two. Amen. My son was telling me the other day that there's a young man in his school that every day he see him, he's in a fight. Well, that wouldn't be so bad, but you see, every day he get beat up. If I had to go to school every day and get beat up, I would change schools or something. Amen? But the word fight describes a scene of combat or struggle. And I think it's unfortunate that we see this word today as something that we as saints should not be engaged in. But hold on, you're going to understand after a while. The world has dictated to us that we are supposed to be submissive and mild-mannered and humbled to everything and everyone who wants to take advantage of us. Well, you're supposed to be saved. You're supposed to take. You're supposed to let me. You're supposed to get in the back. No. Not in 1994. Huh? Well, after all, you're supposed to bear your cross. My cross, not your cross. Get your cross off my back. Hello, somebody. Being a saint of God does not mean that you are a punching bag. It's not a license for everybody to pick on you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let me clear the air and explain that I'm not talking about necessarily a physical combat scene. You know, saints punching and kicking, trying to get folks saved, going out witnessing, slapping people around, saying, "You need God!" And I do know an individual that did that. Amen. He was in prison and the Lord saved him and he didn't have full understanding. And he was a tough guy and he thought he had to yank people up by the collar and make them get saved. That's not how we win people to the Lord. Amen. That's how you get beat up. Praise the Lord. But I'm talking about a spiritual warfare. A determined mind and a heart to go on with Jesus even when it's not popular or even when it's not convenient. You know, like Jeremiah had to preach to all those folk and he knew that no one was going to listen to him. But yet because God said so, he went on anyway. Amen? having a determined mind and a determined will that after being made free by Jesus, we're going to stay free. Your determination, your level of determination will determine how long you stay saved. But I have a question for you this morning. How determined are you? How much can you take? How much will you allow them to get next to you before you seek refuge in the Lord and be built up in a most holy strength? And so we see that scripture is filled with battles, with confrontations, with struggles all throughout the battle, especially in the Old Testament. I mean, there were some serious wars going on. And I believe that God uses the many physical battles and wars in scripture to show us at least three things, if you're following the scripture. Number one, the devil is not going to stop trying to destroy you. You might as well get it in your head. Now, you know, the children of Israel, and as many times as they would go into war, you know, God would give them the victory. And then wouldn't you know it, that devil comes back at some other point or time and again tries to destroy. So I want you to understand that as long as you're on this earth, the devil is not going to stop trying to destroy you. Amen? And number two, in the struggle or the confrontation, you are never alone. God shows us in these battles that when the people of God go forth to fight, when they go forth to struggle, they're not alone. They're not by themselves. And that's what God wants us to know today. He shows us that in Scripture. We recall the story. Well, there are so many different stories that actually support this. But what comes to mind is Gehazi going out one morning when the enemy had surrounded the whole place, the house, because they wanted to get his master, Elisha. And they were determined to get him. But the man of faith spoke and said, look, man, don't you see? And then he had to pray and ask the Lord to touch his eyes and say, open his eyes, Lord. And when the Spirit of the Lord gave him spiritual insight, he was able to look around and see the unseen and saw that there were chariots of fire, that there were angels all around him. Which comes to let us know that, yes, there are battles, but even when you can't see your way out, even when you can't even see the victory, it's there. That God is in the battle with you. And number three, as long as you remain faithful, and this is so important, as long as you remain faithful and obedient to the Lord, you will come out with a shout. You will come out with a shout. I said you will come out with a shout. You might be anything, but as long as you remain faithful to the Lord and obedient, those two words are key elements, faithful and obedience. Say faithfulness, faithfulness. And obedience, and obedience are key to coming out with a shout. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm coming out with a shout. But I want y'all to know that you don't have to wait till you get out to shout. We can shout in anticipation. Matter of fact, I tell you all, when the situation first come up, you can start shouting then. Don't wait till you're in the middle of the battle to start hollering and yelling. Don't even wait till you're in the thick of battle to start praising God. But when you see it coming, start praising right then. Isaiah 12 and 6 says, cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. He's in the midst of thee. See, when y'all going through, God is not far off someplace looking over. He's right there with you. The story of the three Hebrew boys. Where was that fourth person? No, he was on a high balcony looking down at them burning. No, he was about a mile or so away with binoculars. Man, look at that hot fire. No, he was out someplace sipping a cool drink while they were burning in the fire. Where was the fourth person? He was walking with them in the midst. And that's the promise that the Lord gives us. Throughout the confrontation, God will give direction. And always in God's direction, I want you to understand this. In all situations, when God gives direction, in the direction is built the protection. In God's direction, he has already built the protection. And so when the Lord speaks to you, that simply is an indicator that we don't have to worry about it. Because you know, when God begins to talk to you, that's when your worst trouble comes. You know why? Because somebody else starts talking to you. Huh? I mean, you fasted and you prayed for a breakthrough. And the Spirit of the Lord say, it is well. I'm with you. Next thing you know, here come the telephone. Honey, you know, you just can't go through it. You just can't do it. Can't. Or that little quiet voice in your voice. Now you know. You all watch out for that. Now you know. I remember on the occasions I told you all the time how the Lord called me to preach his gospel. I mean, the Lord picked me up from my seat and dragged me. Well, he didn't drag me, but I was just resisting a little bit. But he pulled me into the pulpit, and I knew in my spirit that God had called me to preach. And there wasn't a shadow of doubt. I mean, there was rejoicing and there was praise. But when I got up to the pulpit and spoke and said, the Lord called me to preach, like that voice said, nah, you know that. You know. You. But when God gives direction, that's when the enemy comes to try and confuse you. And we need to be aware of that. And we said that the way that you know the voice of the Lord from the enemy is that the Lord speaks it in where? In your heart. But the devil speaks to your what? Mind. And so because we know the position of Satan, we can just tell him to shut up. I'm going to shout anyhow. What do we tell him, mother? Tell him to shut up. Come on, tell the devil, shut up, devil.
Shut up, devil.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You sounded like warriors in here. Amen. Come on, say, shut up, devil.
Shut up, devil.
My God. Why don't you give him a stomp while you're at it? You know what you just did? You just located the devil. Shut up, devil. Where you at? I see you. Hallelujah. Put him where he belongs. Put him where he belongs. Hallelujah. The Lord has called us to fight today. Jesus. Some of you all may be waiting for God to send an angel to take care of your battle. That might have been the way that it was in the Old Testament. But these are New Testament times. Hallelujah. I believe that everybody didn't have what we have today. You see, when Jesus came back from the grave, the Bible says that he came back with all power. Not a little bit of power. Not just some power, but all power. And then he did something that I love him because he did. And that was he took that power and he implanted it in me. Hallelujah. My God, he's not calling the angels to fight for you anymore. But there's a battle that you can do in the heavenlies by talking to God, by praying to God, by believing God. You got to get this thing right here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want no angel to do my praising for me. I told y'all the other day. Hallelujah. Somebody else might be able to pray for you, but they can't praise for you. You've got to do your praising yourself. Hallelujah. There's a fight going on. There's a press going on. There's a struggle going on. Every time you get up on Sunday morning, I mean Saturday, you just excited about going to God's house. You remember how the Lord blessed on the week prior and said, oh, I can't wait to get there. But oh, when you wake up on Sunday morning, Arthur tried to get to Acton. Anybody know who Arthur is? You know Ritus. Ain't nothing right about him. Hallelujah. All kinds of things go on in your head, trying to hold you back from your blessing. And it becomes a struggle. It becomes a struggle. Hallelujah. And so Paul here in these scriptures had to remind and to encourage Timothy, the pastor. Now let me explain something to you all. A pastor is considered to be a person that's firmly rooted in the word and understands the direction and the vision and the call of God. Now if Paul had to encourage him, what about you? Huh? Don't think that you ever get too holy. That the devil is going to stop trying to get to you. He came to Jesus and tried to tempt him. The nerve of that fella. But when Satan came to Jesus talking all that nonsense and foolishness, and we talked about how he still uses the same tricks, nothing new. Well, if you serve me, I'll give you this. Well, if you just take this little drug, I'll make you feel good. Shut up, you lying wonder. Huh? Well, if you just bow down, I'll take care of you in this way. Shut up, you lying wonder. You know, sometimes you've got to talk to the devil. Amen? The Bible says, resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. Now let me ask y'all a question. First of all, the Bible says, because we need to get that whole scripture intact. Submit yourselves unto the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So the first part is that you have to be in Christ Jesus. So if you're not in Christ Jesus, you better shut up saying shut up. But when you submitted yourself to God, when you're in Christ Jesus, then you have a right to tell Satan what to do, and he has to obey. Know what Jesus did. Jesus had a conversation with the devil, you all. And I can make a long story or a short story long and go into the scripture and tell you everything that he said. But in short, I can tell you that what he said was, shut up, devil. I don't have time to hear that mess. I'm going on. Praise the Lord. And so we found it necessary, Paul found it necessary to encourage Timothy, the pastor, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we must understand that God has implanted his grace in us today. And that's why none of us should ever say that I can't. Because when the grace of God is within you, that is as God himself is in you working to do what he wills for you to do. The failure is never in God, but the failure is in man. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? To be strong in the grace which is in Christ means to be confident and bold in the knowing that he is able to fulfill what he said he'll do. Knowing that. And so when you know who you are in Christ and what he's promised to you, then you can walk boldly. Then you can fight. Because you have all the armament that you need. You know that helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. Loins girt, feet shod. Ready for battle. Ready for battle. And so Paul tells Timothy to endure hardness. I think a lesson that we have to learn as saints of God is that hardness will come, but it will not always be. Somebody said, trouble don't last always. Hallelujah. Trouble don't last always. But there comes a point in time that we all are going to have to fight. And we're going to fight until we win. When temptation comes, we're going to fight until we win. When hardship comes, we're going to fight until we win. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to fight until we win. Hallelujah. And everyone comes to show call. Say, what is show call? Show call is the place of battle. Show call is the place of showdown. In scripture, in 1 Samuel 17, you will find the story of David and Goliath. How the big bad bully from Gath came down to a place called Shokoth. Shokoth is the place of showdown. When you have a struggling situation, when you have a temptation, you know where you are? In Shokoth. When things are just going crazy and not in your favor, you've just entered in, not the twilight zone, but you've entered in to Shokoth. But there's something about Shokoth. God is also in Shokoth. You know what Shokoth is? Shokoth is another place that gives us an opportunity to what? To have church. Praise the Lord. And so we see in that story where David refused to allow this Goliath, allow this giant to taunt the armies of God. But you have to understand, if David wouldn't have showed up, Israel would have already lost because they were afraid. Have you ever been so afraid that you couldn't move? That's how it was at the showdown. That's how it was at the showdown. They were afraid to send anybody up. No one wanted to go. But I want y'all to know something. In every situation, God has appointed someone to cause change. And guess who that person is today? You. See, because we said that he's not sending the angels anymore. If he wants to, he can. But you see, he's implanted something in you. We said that there's a great shaking in the land now. And in scripture, whenever that great shaking came, God always sent a deliverer. He always sent a deliverer. There are numerous times in scripture that things were really looking bad for God's people and for the earth as a whole. When the children of Israel was in Egypt, they needed a deliverer. They needed someone who would fight. And so God prepared a warrior to bring them out. He took 40 years to prepare them, but they got out. He took Moses and sent them on the backside of the mountain. What did he go through in the desert? The backside of the desert. That's where some of us have been till now. In preparation, you've been in the back of the desert. You've been going through, but you've been getting through in the desert. You've been hungry, but God has been feeding you in the desert. You've been thirsty, but God showed you oases in the desert. Hallelujah. God strengthens you and builds you up in the desert. But it's time to come out of the desert now. And when we come out of the desert, it's not all over, but there's another fight to be fought. Did you ever notice that when God brought the children of Israel out of the desert, it was only to send them to another battle? They came and there was the Jordan. You see, there must be a crossing. They failed the first crossing, or they failed to succeed the first crossing when they crossed the Red Sea. They could have ended that whole long walk, but they messed up. And so here comes another crossing. And this crossing, when they got over, they met with the obstacle, which was Jericho. And this time they believed God. And so therefore they were able to go over. But it was a fight. How many know that anything that's worth having is worth fighting for? And whether you get that thing or not is dependent upon how determined you are. Come on and ask your neighbor, well, how determined are you? Hallelujah. How determined are you? Nothing is just going to be handed to you on a silver platter. Listen, you're not going to get to heaven just slipping and sliding through. Amen? Because just about as hard as you are working to get to glory, there's another force that's trying to work as hard to hold you out. But God has given you power. I've got good news for you today. I've got good news and I've got bad news. Let me tell you the bad news first. The devil is out to destroy you. But let me tell you the good news. Greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. And he's with you in battle. And he's carrying you through. He's carrying you through. We said that God has invested in your success. How many have been going through something the last month? Last week. Mother Jenkins said every month. But how many made it here today? How many people do we have here today that made it here today? You made it. Tell your neighbor, I made it. You see, we always looking for the big, great, giant blessing. But what about the blessing that you hear right now? I've gone through, I've went through, but I'm here. I made it. I made it. And the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us today. And I praise him today. Come on and tell the Lord thank you. Come on and just begin to praise God right now. Hallelujah. 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 We serve a great God. We serve an awesome God. Amen. I'm not going to scream and holler. I just want to share what I feel the Lord has given me to give you today. That Satan already planned some of you all's demise. He thought he had it figured out. But in the midst of all that, God got a word through. I said he got a word through. You see, no matter what, God will get a word through to you. Daniel thought it was all over, thought God couldn't hear him anymore, or the way it seemed to be going. But when the angel finally got through, he let him know, hey man, God heard you on the first day. Some of you all are traveling through some situations right now. Adverse situations right now. And know what? It seems like it's not going to end. Seems like it's not going to end. It's called a wilderness experience. But do you recall that God was in the wilderness? God is in the wilderness. I want to speak a word of hope today. Even as I'm speaking. Man, this room is full of concerns this morning. Jesus. I just want to call out a few that I see here. There's some serious concerns for your health in this room. Yes. I'm not just talking about one person. I say that because some situations I know about in the natural. You have serious concerns about your health, my Lord. And then there are others that you don't know where you're going to lay your head tomorrow. And so the Lord has brought you here today. Right now, there's somebody that your home situation You've tried to be strong, but you keep worrying about it. You don't want to worry, but you keep worrying about that home situation. Some of you have some aspirations and dreams, and it seems like nothing you do causes it to come into fruition. Nothing that you seem to do causes it to be manifested. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, Lord, why do you bring us through this sometime? Why couldn't we just, hallelujah. This is the day of breakthrough. I felt that thing. Jesus. How many really want a breakthrough today? If it doesn't pertain to you, don't raise your hand. But I mean, you really need a breakthrough. God is here to minister to you today. Yes, he is. Brother, come on up here. Come on up here. Yes, you. Danny Smith. Yeah, you. Praise God. Come on up here today. Give me some oil. Hallelujah. The Lord's going to minister today. This young man today, when I came out the office early, you could just face me. When I came out the office earlier, around Sunday school time, I think it was, I'd never seen him in my life before. And I understand the story that the witnessing team was out on yesterday and they met up with the brother. But as I saw the brother walking in, I was walking around and I just saw his face. Didn't know who he was. And the Lord placed in my spirit and says, there's great potential in there. And that I'm going to bring it out, I being the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when they came to you yesterday, you were ready for a change, weren't you? You were ready for something new. You were ready for something positive to happen in your life. Is that right? Hallelujah. Oh, man. You know, the devil messed up now. He should have killed you while he had a chance. It's too late now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, your hedge of protection be about him. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would gird him with understanding, with knowledge, and that you would comfort him with your peace, and that you would cause him to find himself in you. Cause him to be a mighty servant of you, Lord. From this day forward, let the change begin. Let your anointing rest in him, Lord. Cause him to go forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Even now. Even now. Even now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody need to thank the Lord. He's working it out right now. He's working it out right now. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You can go. Hallelujah. Yes, sister. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody need to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to do what I believe the Lord wants to do. Hallelujah. We can throw chairs on next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whew. Did you get those tests back? Next month? Okay. Praise the Lord. See this sister here? We're believing that the Lord will give her a brand new kidney. I want y'all to know something. I know that God is able. We have a cousin, Sister Pam, that was involved in a car accident in New York. And the other person that was with her was killed in the car accident. And her liver was so severely damaged. I want you to hear this. It'll stir your faith. God is able. That liver was so severely damaged that when she came back to Waterbury Hospital, they said, no, we can't do it. She was laying in the bed in intensive care, tubes all over the place, her legs all swollen. And they said, we're going to have to ship her out tomorrow to Yale, New Haven, so she can get a transplant, a kidney transplant. A liver transplant. But on that Sunday, a great storm came. And they decided to, we had gone beforehand and we had prayed the prayer of faith. We walked in that room, we prayed the prayer of faith, and we believed God. And so on that Sunday, a great storm came. And for whatever reasons, the doctors decided that they were going to take another X-ray after the saints had prayed. And they got that X-ray and they said, wait. A brand new liver. God had given her. Wait, that's not all. Not only that. Jesus. Her leg had been severely swollen. She wasn't even eating natural, real food. You know how they give you that liquid stuff, intravenous and all. Couldn't eat. Couldn't do anything. That very day that her healing came, she was eating steak. I mean, she didn't go to the soft stuff. She was eating steak. That very day, the swelling went down in her leg. Don't tell me what God can't do. Hallelujah. I believe, hallelujah. I want everybody that believes that God can and will heal this woman, I want you to stand on your feet right now. Only if you believe. Only if you believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God doesn't just heal for the sake of healing. Because I want y'all to understand something. You can make it to glory without receiving a healing. Cancer has taken a lot of people out of here. But when Jesus was walking about and doing miracles, the reason, see and believe that their minds and their hearts would be prepared to receive the word. I believe that the Lord wants to use this woman. And that through her, many will come to the Lord. That's what I believe. And that this healing will be a great testimony that will draw others to the Lord. Sister, let me ask you something. If the Lord heal you, would you be willing to share the Lord with some folk? Say what?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Let your most holy faith be stirred right now in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're believing even now for a brand new kidney. Lord, let it be manifested in a body right now. We pray your healing, restoring, rejuvenating, revitalizing power be released in her life right now. The power of God prevail. The power of God prevail right now. Lord, your healing virtue. Your healing virtue be released. Your healing virtue be released. Oh God. New Lord. Let her live and bring up her children in the way of holiness. Let her live and be a witness to you, Lord. Let her live and give praise, glory, and honor unto your name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for it right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Come on and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, come on in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in. See you next week.